Hey everyone, welcome to the Green Scene Podcast. I'm Jeremy Safran. TGSP is the top global cannabis podcast. Everyone has questions, and we'll cover the stories that matter and showcase the guests who make a difference. This week on TGSP, we catch up with Jim Pakulis of TransCana Holdings, a company that since IPO has achieved some great success. And we also hear an update about what Jim calls a cannabis campus, a huge facility that they have an exclusive option to acquire. Jim, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. Now, obviously, we've featured TransCana on the show before, and if you want to listen to those podcasts to get a little bit more context, of course, they're available anywhere you prefer to listen to podcasts at the Green Scene Podcast. Now, with that context, you're definitely one of the most successful pioneers in the cannabis space. It's certainly been a pleasure watching what you and your team have done with TransCana, and it seems over the last 18 months from inception to IPO, you've carefully structured and crafted TransCana with a constant emphasis on shareholder value. And out of the gate, it appears to be paying off quite well. You've had some incredible results since IPO, as I'm sure you obviously know, making it one of the most successful IPOs from a percentage standpoint over the last 6 months. And then you recently followed up with an announcement of being in escrow to purchase one of the largest, if not the largest, cannabis-focused facilities in California. And that means, of course, since California is the largest cannabis revenue state in the country, conditional on the closing of that facility, you literally have the largest facility in the largest state with the potential to generate massive revenues. Now, we've had a lot of positive feedback from our investment community on TransCana and obviously from the others. So let's talk about a little recap of your background, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, thank you again for having me on. And you hit on one very key component in that shareholder value. Our team, from the inception of TransCana, has concentrated on how do we drive shareholder value. I just can't emphasize it enough. Every day we go to work, we're trying to do good by our shareholders. And knock on wood, so far, I think we've done a fairly decent job. Quick recap. 2010, I did a reverse merger in the state of California. This was prior to just about anybody else getting into the cannabis space. As you know, the state of California in 1996 permitted medicinal cannabis. No one had taken the opportunity or leveraged the capabilities of a publicly traded company in the medicinal cannabis space. So what I did in July of 2010 was a reverse merger, acquired a variety of different assets in the medicinal cannabis sector. The most prominent was Weedmaps, which was just in the embryonic stage. So as the CEO and chairman of General Cannabis, which was the name of the publicly traded company at the time, different than the General Cannabis that's out there in the arena today. But as the CEO of General Cannabis, we were fortunate enough to grow Weedmaps from about zero revenue to close to $16 million in annual revenue over the course of just 2 years. We were fortunate enough to pretty much double revenue every single month for a 24-month time period, drove the stock from about 30 cents to almost $5 on the OTCQX, and created pretty close to a half a billion dollar market cap. So I think we were one of the first ones in the cannabis sector to have reached those milestones.
Right.
So it was pretty heady times. It was wonderful baptism by fire. So that's how I got the start. I still have tremendous contacts in the sector, as well in the financial arena, because of what we had done back in 2010. A few years ago, I also helped out Lifestyle Delivery System as president, assisted them with some financing with Canaccord primarily as the main financier for Lifestyle Delivery Systems. During the last year and a half, spent a lot of time creating and growing TransCana, which we started from the inception stage about 18 months ago, and we did a cannabis IPO, which is a little bit unique. Most groups are doing RTOs. But in any event, that's where we're at today.
Well, let's talk about the property that we mentioned at the top, and that is that you have an exclusive option to acquire one. And based on our internal due diligence, we've concluded that real estate acquisitions in this quote-unquote green zone, which is basically the term used for areas in a city or a town that a council is permitted to use for cannabis-related activity, it has a premium to it. In fact, on average, we've found that the real estate in these green zones are going for between $300 to $400 per square foot. And some of the facilities and the buildings we've seen are really old. You know, they're really lacking, and maybe a better term is just tired or run down. So let's talk about that option.
Yeah, absolutely. We were fortunate enough to retain the services of a of a top-notch mergers and acquisitions firm out of Northern California. They have about 20 years of experience in the M&A arena, in the last 5 years in the cannabis arena, specifically in California. They've gone out and looked at real estate transactions on our behalf, as well as looked at licensed brands throughout the state of California. Just to give you an example, they've reached out to about 600 different licensed branded companies in the state, introduced us to about 60. We liked roughly 20 to 25 of them, did due diligence on the 20, 25, maybe 30, and really like a handful of them that we think would do well with an acquisition by TransCanada of those brands. So this is the type of very significant vetting we do for the transactions that we want to bring into TransCanada. To the real estate side, we also ask them to look for real estate transactions for us. So I spent the last 14 months literally going up and down the state looking at a variety of different transactions. And as you just said, those are the price points I found as well, between $300 to $400 a square foot. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough to come across a property that's fully built. There is recently $8 million, U.S. $8 million of tenant improvements that were put into the facility to make it a vertically integrated cannabis-focused facility, three-story with $8 million of tenant improvements recently put into it. And it also sits on 6 acres, all of which is are in the green zone. It also has a tremendous amount of excellent labor pool in the given geographical area, since it's the agricultural belt. And on top of it all, some of the lowest electric rates, power rates in the state of California. So the stars really lined up for us on this one, Jeremy.
Yeah, amazing. 6 acres. What a fascinating story. Maybe you could go into detail a little bit for the listeners regarding your intentions for the building.
Sure. For TransCanada, what we'd like to do is become a true branding company, meaning we'd like to have roughly 15 brands on the shelves of the dispensaries in 3 years. And the way we anticipate getting there is to be able to have complete control of our ecosystem. We want to be able to have the ability to grow, have the ability to manufacture, extract, and transport our own goods, as well as having the sales force out in the marketplace placing the products with the bud tenders in the dispensaries. This seems to be the ideal facility to get us to that point, conditional on us being able to acquire it. It has a variety of different divisions within the facility that were designed while they were doing the tenant improvements for manufacturing, for extraction, for remediation, for logistics, transportation, distribution, for nursery, for grow. They also have allocated about 10,000 square feet for a third-party lab testing company to lease space. We can't be owning a lab company, but we can certainly lease space out to it.
Right.
So I think we got the bases covered. And our concept is, yeah, we want to have 15 strong brands in the marketplace. And that means we have to get large. We're already seeing the major players coming into the marketplace, such as tobacco, alcohol, pharma. And we don't think that that's going to slow down. We believe that that's just going to increase as far as the momentum and probably the dollars that are going to be put into the cannabis sector. And so if we're fortunate enough to take down one of the largest facilities, in fact, it's a campus, actually, once you include the 6 acres, then I think we're positioning ourselves very, very well.
Well, I know that with some of the companies that we follow, they break down their top line revenue by square feet. And it seems a manufacturing facility does conservatively around $3,000 per square foot per year. So based on the square foot, the square footage of your facility, those top line revenue numbers could get very large.
Very, very large, very fast, we hope. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't go into a performer or our internal projections, but based on what you just represented, they could get large relatively quickly. That's for sure.
So, Jim, in summary, give us your takeaway points for TransCanada at its early age.
For TransCanada, we want brands on the shelves that have high velocity, that are re-upping the orders on a regular basis. That's our goal, to have the high-velocity brands on the shelves. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to go ahead and be one of the main participants in the state of California over the next 3 to 4 years. In conjunction to that, we want to have, and we are putting together, one of the most seasoned management teams that I've ever been fortunate enough to be a part of. It's just tremendous A-team talent that is now coming in that we're in negotiations with to bring aboard to help run this facility conditional and on the acquisition, and then to help grow the facility. And then we're also looking at to have satellite facilities throughout the state of California. And so the folks that we're interviewing right now are going to be key for that growth, for the momentum of that growth. And then lastly, the takeaway, I think, would be the deep relations I do have in the financial arena and the cannabis sector, as well as just networking that I've been able to do for almost a decade. So I think when you combine all of that, and in conjunction to our share structure, Jeremy, again, we premeditated this to the granular level. We wanted to go out with a very conservative share structure. So as we talk right now, fully diluted, including options and warrants and performance warrants and shares, everything. We're at around 25 million shares outstanding. The IPO, again, was 4.4 million shares. They had a dollar warrants attached to them. Some of those monies are starting to come in as well, obviously, at a dollar warrant when we're trading at $2. So we purposely tried to stay very conservative, knowing that we want to get large and knowing that we want to be nimble and laser focused as we grow TransCanna.
It's been an exciting month and a little bit so far. I'm looking forward to it. Please come on the show again and give us an update when everything is closed and we have more to share.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Have a great day.
And you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Jim for keeping us informed on TransCanna, and thanks to our listeners for keeping us the number one global cannabis podcast. You can find out more at www.thegreenscenepodcast.com. I'm Jeremy Saverin, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us on TGSP this week. We hope you liked the show. Don't forget to go to our website, www.thegreenscenepodcast.com, subscribe to us, and rate our podcast. We'll catch you next week.